Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
Okay, we had a malfunction there. Hello, Lee. How are you this afternoon?
I'm not malfunctioning, but I'm okay.
No, I am. My hearing was malfunctioning and I couldn't quite hear whether that was going to air or not. You did hear your intro, did you not?
I definitely did. It sounded like a motion going off.
It means it went to air. Anyway, life goes on. Mate, let's get stuck into it. Let me bring up the email from you with all your information there. We're talking about transparent laptops. Now,
yeah.
We know that there was a transparent television that was rolled out at CES, the Consumers Electronics Show in Las Vegas in January. Yeah. So we know there was a transparent TV, which obviously costs thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, but there is talk about technology for a transparent laptop.
Yeah, so this is kind of off the bandwagon of transparent TVs. There are actually two of them, by the way, not just one. And again, as you said, they are going to be for people with lots and lots of money. I didn't have enough friends with lots and lots of money, so I'll probably only see it in the studio. The transparent laptop is kind of the same concept. What they've done is they've created a transparent screen using something called micro LEDs. And the easy way of describing that is if you imagine an LED, you can still kind of see if you get up really close to your TV. A micro LED, you can't. It's a microscopic LED, and they found a way to hide it in glass panels. So they've made a laptop that is largely thin, still technically runs an Intel, runs Windows operating system. It's a computer as you know it, but it happens to be transparent. It's a long way off. Lenovo are just showing off their transparent ThinkBook as an idea of what you can do, so it's probably a long way off from actual release.
I just think to myself, why would you? I mean, why would you want a transparent laptop?
I can't think of a reason why we would want it yet. That being said, we do see transparent screens used in marketing. We see it used in advertising as well. So I kind of see why they're going this way. They're showing what they can do, and I can see larger businesses kind of seeing maybe using this sort of stuff in marketing later on. But for most people, it's very much Star Trek sort of stuff, so it's not going to be useful for a long time.
I think a transparent TV screen is wonderful. You can put it in front of a view and still see your view. But one of these days we'll be able to see those in homes at affordable prices.
That's going to take probably about 5-10 years until they actually become affordable. The first generation will probably cost somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000. But I like, as you said, that you can see through them. The only downside is now I have to show people how ugly my wallpaper is.
Yeah, true. Speaking of laptops, I've got a question here from Anna. Anna says, please ask Lee, is it better to buy a laptop in store or through an online shopping place like Amazon, for example?
It doesn't typically matter that much as long as you're getting a good deal. One of the reasons I would actually suggest going in store is simply because if they've got a dummy product out or even one that's just a demo model, you can try the keyboard. And that might sound silly, but keyboards range a lot from laptop manufacturers. There are certain brands that do better keyboards than other ones. So if you were able to try it, you'll get a better feeling of whether that keyboard's going to be right for you.
Could smart contact lenses become a reality? Tell us more about a smart contact lens. What is a smart contact lens?
So if you think that the transparent laptop was crazy, then the transparent set of glasses that you can wear that go inside your eye might be even crazier. You can imagine the Google glasses and the Apple Vision. It's kind of the idea, except they put it in your eye. There's not a lot of news about this thing because it's not expected till at least 2026. And to be honest, the idea will probably take a lot longer to come out and be usable. No one's said how you can control it. But it will apparently take information from your phone, take information from the internet, so you can work out where you're going simply by looking inside the contact lens. And really interesting, they're saying that you'll be able to zoom in on imagery using your eyes, so basically giving you almost superhuman abilities. A lot of it sounds very far off, but we're all intrigued because a few manufacturers are working on them, including some companies that actually work on contact lenses in general.
Steve Austin, the $6 million man, we have the technology, doesn't seem that far off anymore.
No, we can build him bigger and faster, but you'll still have to spend a Mozza just to get it.
Yes. A smartwatch with a 2-week battery life. I'd like a phone with a 2-week battery life. I think that's the big thing. It's not just wearables, it's phones. I mean, it's the biggest bugbear. I've got a 2-year-old. Is it 2-year-old? I don't know. What is it? It's an iPhone 13. So the latest is an iPhone 15. I have an iPhone 13. In remarkable condition. I look after my devices. You would think it was almost brand new. The bloody battery. I mean, I can't get a full day out of this battery now. I'm already down to 50%. I spent a fair bit of time on the phone this morning, but I'm already down to 50%. So by the time I get home at 6 o'clock, the battery's just about flat.
So we find with phones, for instance, that if you're trying to get the best battery life, weirdly, phones in the mid-range or the max models, the ones with the larger screens, they have the better battery life simply because they've got larger batteries. And we do find, for instance, the iPhone 13, iPhone 13 Pro, and any of the same, the 14 and the 15s are exactly the same. The smaller models get at most a day. The larger models can get up to a full day, maybe-ish. They might get a little bit longer, but for getting good battery life out of your phone, don't use the screen. If you don't use the screen, the battery life will be tremendous. If you do use the screen, the battery life won't. In wearables, it's a little bit different because it's the same issue. There are screens, but there's also smart health sensors going on there as well. This device is from Withings, which I think we've spoken about before, and it's a new model, the ScanWatch 2, and it can track your heart rate, your temperature, blood oxygen, ECG, but I'm getting about 2 weeks of battery life out of testing it, and you can theoretically get up to 30 days, I just can't manage to prove it.
Now, if you're not a smart watch wearer, maybe you're a smart ring wearer. There's a smart ring. Can you buy this yet?
No, it'll come out, we think, September. There is a model out from a different company called Oura that's been out for a long time, but not in Australia. It's been America and I think UK only. Samsung's Galaxy Ring will probably be the first recognized smart ring. And it's kind of the same concept as a smartwatch. It just tracks all that information from your finger. So heart rate, temperature, that sort of stuff. It will send notifications to your finger as well. It just means that for people who don't like wearing a watch, or maybe you like wearing a classic watch, you don't want your smarts to come into it, the ring will actually do the same sort of thing, and it will be harder to see because it just looks like a ring.
Is it Oura? Oura? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
The Oura ring, is that compatible with both Android and Apple phones?
Yeah, so as far as we know, yeah, but it's not available in Australia. So they've never launched it here.
Oh, okay, so you can't buy it in Australia.
No, but the Galaxy Ring, the Samsung one, will be
available in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Nikon goes to the moon. Tell us about this. It's called a mirrorless camera. Now, I'm not a camera buff, so it means absolutely nothing to me.
So if you know a camera from, I guess, from the past 100 years or so of cameras, 120, I think, they've used mirror boxes. That's a digital SLR, things like that. Before digital, it was just standard single-lens reflex. Mirrorless cameras are basically, they just have no mirror box. There's a little shutter that's electronic inside the system, and you just shoot directly to the sensor. For a long time, they were seen as not as sturdy or durable as single-lens reflexes, mirrored cameras, because those are the ones they've been using forever. A lot of pros have been migrating to those new mirrorless cameras, and Nikon has gone to space lots of times, but never with a mirrorless camera.
Right.
Now they're going to space with a mirrorless camera on the moon. They're basically taking something you can buy today off the shelf, called a Nikon Z9, and they're giving it a little bit more durability and some extra wireless features, so they'll get 8K video back to the lunar modules really fast. We're going to get some amazing footage from the Artemis 2026 missions. But the most impressive thing is it's basically saying mirrorless cameras are sturdy enough for the harshest of extremes where there's no gravity and it's incredibly cold.
Isn't it incredible to think that we live in a time where, gee, you'd have to say a high 90% of people have, a camera, a really good quality camera that takes amazing pictures just in their back pocket as part of their phone. No one goes out and buys a standalone camera anymore.
No, I love it. And I grew up as a photographer. That was my background before I went to journalism. And then I still got lots of cameras. And to be honest, I mostly rely on my phone camera because, as you said, they're fantastic.
Quick one from Alan just before I let you go. Alan says, I have a granny flat on my property that I cannot pick up Wi-Fi in. What do you recommend to boost or extend the signal?
I don't usually recommend extenders because all they do is extend the signal. They don't extend the speed. If you have a really strong wireless router, those will do it. Some of those can get expensive, but otherwise I'd also recommend looking at mesh Wi-Fi. Mesh Wi-Fi creates kind of like a Venn diagram. You set up one little point in one part of your house, another part in your granny flat, and they talk to each other and send you around to the right part of your network.
Easy. Thank you, mate. I knew there was an answer for that. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll do it again. Same time, same place next week. Thanks, Lee.
No worries. Okay. Sounds good. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. That is Lee Stark. There you go. If you've got any techie questions, send them to us and we'll put them to Lee.